Hello and welcome to Black Cat Astronomy. When we talk about exciting scientific discoveries, it seems to be all too common to forget to mention all the supporting disciplines that make those discoveries possible. If you want to cook your dinner, you need things like, for example, a chef's knife. Without the work of the smith to make that knife, even the best chef in the world would not be able to do his job properly. And the same is true in science. For example, without modern telescopes, designed by brilliant engineers and built by skilled technicians, we would not be able to see many of the interesting objects I talk about in this podcast. But the most important toolkit in any science is mathematics. Mathematics provide us with the language we use to describe the world and with the tools to make predictions. But mathematics also introduced something new, the proof. And that is really important. Empirical science is based on our observations. If you see 1,000 black ravens, you would say that all ravens are black. But as scientists, we are well aware that strictly speaking, we can't be so sure. If tomorrow you see a white raven, your whole theory goes out of the window. Or even worse, every raven could be black on one side and white on the other, and you're just unlucky enough to always look at the black side. In practice, everybody will accept the statement that all ravens are black to be true. In theory, we can never be really sure that it is true. This is sometimes referred to as the raven paradox. That changes with the mathematical proof. If a statement is mathematically proven, we know it to be true, at least in the context of that system. I'm not saying that every mathematical idea that works out on paper automatically has to be a good description of what's going on in the world around us. We still need empirical data to make sure that we are not just dreaming up some weird stuff that is about as helpful in our quest to understand the world as a fantasy novel. What I'm saying is, the mathematical proof can establish a bit of certainty that opens up new scientific discoveries and help us to gain deeper understanding of what we already know. After this lengthy and somewhat philosophical introduction, I would like to talk about the Noether theorem. A theorem named after Emmy Noether, who by many is seen as the most brilliant mathematical mind of the 20th century. Emmy Noether was born on the 23rd of March 1882 in Erlangen, Germany. Her father was a mathematician at the University of Erlangen. She completed her education as a teacher for French and English in 1900. In 1903, after women were finally allowed to study at Bavarian universities, she began her studies at the University of Erlangen, where she received her doctorate in 1907. This made her the second ever woman to graduate in mathematics from a German university. Her main area of interest was abstract algebra, a discipline that works with complex mathematical structures. Her work was so groundbreaking that today we use the adjective Noetherian to describe algebraic structures with certain properties. But diving into the details of her work and mathematical research would be too much for what I want to do in this episode of our little podcast. In 1915, the mathematicians Felix Klein and David Hilbert invited her to Göttingen, also in Germany, which at the time was the world's leading center for mathematics. At that time, Hilbert struggled with a problem he encountered in Albert Einstein's theory of general relativity. Hilbert suspected that general relativity violated the law of conservation of energy, one of the most fundamental laws of physics. The methods used by Einstein were a speciality of Emmy Noether, and Hilbert hoped that she could help him to solve that question. And Emmy Noether did not only solve the puzzle, but in the process discovered the famous Noether theorem, which was published in 1918. In the most simple terms, the theorem states that for every continuous symmetry in a physical system, there is a conserved quantity. In mathematics, as well as in physics, a symmetry describes what we can do to a system without changing its behavior. If I pick up my coffee mug and move it up and down, sideways or backwards and forth, nothing changes to the behavior of that mug. In mathematical terms, that is a symmetry. If I turn the mug upside down, I will discover the joy of hot wet trousers. So the system of my coffee mug is not symmetrical under rotation. Stretch that analogy to breaking point, and you might even say that when I do a symmetrical transformation to the system of my mug, the conserved quantity would be coffee. The point is, whenever you find a symmetry, you automatically find a conserved quantity. And whenever you find a conserved quantity, you find a symmetry. If you do a simple high school experiment on Newtonian mechanics, you will get the same result, no matter if you do it in Tokyo, Moscow, or on Mars. From this symmetry under translation, we get the conservation of momentum. You can look at that experiment from above, below, or any other direction without changing the outcome. And from this symmetry under rotation, we get the conservation of angular momentum. You can also do the experiment now, next weekend, or in 100 years' time, and always get the same result. From that symmetry in time follows the conservation of energy. Of course, we knew about those conservation laws long before the Noether theorem. After all, Hilbert's problem with the conservation of energy in the theory of general relativity was the reason why Noether started working on that problem in the first place. But now we have a much more profound understanding of why those conservation laws exist. The examples I mentioned here are very straightforward, but Noether's theorem is formulated in a much more general way. And because we have that bit of mathematical certainty in the Noether theorem, we can use that to explore other, so far unanswered questions. The Noether theorem played and still plays a crucial role in things like the Standard Model of Particle Physics, quantum field theory, and so on. I feel that mathematics is a sadly underappreciated subject in today's society. But it's mathematical geniuses like Emmy Noether that made modern science and technology possible. So maybe they deserve a bit more respect than they are getting. And if you're still at school and think mathematics is just a mean way of annoying students, maybe you want to think again. Until the next episode, thank you very much for listening. Ad Astra.